弟兄姊妹早安。
So I want to wish all of you a happy new year.
首先祝大家新年快乐。
The new year often symbolizes many things.
新年开始总是代表了很多的事情。
It symbolizes a fresh start.
可能表示一个全新的开始。
Symbolizes the hope of achieving new goals and plans.
可能有一些完成一些新的计划、新的目标的一些盼望。
And it symbolizes renewal and transformation.
也代表着我们完全的更新或翻转。
And as we enter into the new year, we're also entering into a fresh start of church ministry.
在我们在到新的一年来到的时候，我们的教会的事工呢，又有一个全新的开始。
And so Pastor Jack and I will begin preaching a new series in the letter to Titus at our monthly combined service.
所以我们 Jack 牧师跟我自己呢，我们在每个月的联合崇拜里面，我们有一个新的系列，这是提多书。
The reason we chose Titus is that we want this to be a year in which we grow in godliness as a church family.
我们选择提多书作为今年的系列讲道，主要是我们想在我们教会的敬虔生活这一方面有所长进。
And this letter has much to teach us about godliness.
这封书信呢，有关于我们敬虔的生活教导，有很多可以值得我们学习的。
It teaches us godliness in three spheres of life.
主要的跟我们讲呢，在我们的敬虔生活从三个不同的层面呢教导了我们。
Like in the church.
在教会里面。
In the home.
在家庭当中。
And in the world.
以及在我们在世上的生活当中。
Now what is Titus all about?
那提多书都究竟讲了些什么呢？
To answer that question, I want you to imagine a church in Vancouver that's been around for 20 years.
如果回答这个问题呢，我希望你呢想象一下，在温哥华有一间这样大概成立了20年的教会。
It has a beautiful facility.
他们的教会的设施呢也非常的漂亮。
It has a history.
他们也有一段历史。
And there are believers from all walks of life attending this church.
他们教会的会众呢来自于社会的方方面面。
However, there are problems.
但是呢，他们有一些问题。
False teaching and errors have crept into the church.
他们一些错误的教导呢，已经慢慢的渗透了教会。
Some are causing division in the church.
在教会中也有一些分裂的现象。
There's a lack of clarity on church leadership.
教会的领袖们呢，也不太明白一些事情。
There is poor witnessing into the world.
教会的会众在社会上做的见证呢，也不是那么的美好。
Men and women in the church lack godly behaviors.
教会的弟兄姊妹们也没有一个敬虔的一个行为。
And we decided to send a young pastor with the assignment to revitalize that church.
所以我们教会呢决定了就派一个年轻的牧师呢去复兴这间教会。
And he is to establish biblically qualified men to be elders.
他在那边呢要设立一些符合圣经资格的长老。
He is to confront erroneous and dangerous teachings.
他要去这个责备这些面对那些错误的教导。
He is to instruct believers to live in godliness in doctrine and in behavior.
他也去教导呢，当那些会众呢去做一个过一个敬虔的生活。
That's the general idea of what Titus is all about.
这个呢，大概就给你交代了一下提多书的主要的内容。
That's the purpose of Paul's letter to Titus, found in Titus chapter 1, verse 5.
所以这是在提多书的第一章第五节呢，可以看到保罗为什么写给提多这样的一封信。
Paul says to Titus, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you."
第一章第五节，保罗这样说的：“我从前留你在克里特，是要你将那没有办完的事都办整齐了，又照我所吩咐你的，在各城设立长老。”
Ultimately, Titus was to prepare the believers to be more effective witnesses to unbelievers at Crete.
所以最终的目的就是提多要把装备当教会的信徒，让他们为神做一个更好的见证。
In case you don't know who Titus is, here's a brief biography.
假如你还不知道提多究竟是谁呢，这是一个简单的介绍。
Titus was a Gentile believer, specifically a Greek.
提多是一个外邦人的信徒，具体来说他是一个希腊人。
He was a travel companion and ministry partner of the Apostle Paul.
他陪着保罗呢到处在旅行宣教的中，也是一个同工。
And since Titus was Greek, he would be equipped to minister in a pagan context.
因为提多呢是希腊人，所以呢他装备他给外邦人当中传福音的这样的事工。
And Titus was commissioned to minister at a location called Crete.
所以提多呢给他派到哪里去呢派到了一个克里特这个地方。
And Crete is an island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea.
克里特呢是一个在地中海中间的一个岛。
It's located southeast of Greece.
在希腊的大概东南方向。
The Cretans were problematic and unruly.
克里特人呢是问题很多而且呢他们不服管教的人。
They had acquired a notoriously bad reputation in the Roman world.
他在当时的罗马的这个帝国里面他们的名声是非常臭的。
Titus chapter 1 verse 12 says, One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.
在第一章十二节这样说有克里特人中的一个本地的先知说克里特人常说谎话乃是恶兽又馋又懒。
Apparently, the Cretans were such notorious liars that the Greek language coined a phrase to play the Cretan, which meant to lie.
在他们的名声因为如此之臭，所以在希腊文里面有这样的一个谚语，都说你说你装扮成格里特人，就是表示你说你在撒谎。
And that's how the Roman society viewed the Cretans.
这就是当时罗马社会人怎么样看这个格里特人。
They did so with such prejudices.
他们当然是有一种很严重的偏见。
Now I'm sure there are similar prejudices between cultures in North America or even in Asia.
我想在不同的文化里面，在北美或者在亚洲的国家里面都有这样的偏见。
However, regardless of ethnic and cultural prejudices and context, the gospel reached the island of Crete.
虽然有这样各种各样种族和文化的偏见，但是福音呢也传到了克里特岛。
Now, during Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, some of the Jewish pilgrims were from Crete.
在如果你还记得在使徒行传的第二章呢交代到说有一些犹太的回来的圣徒是从克里特来的。
And they heard the gospel preached in their own language.
他们从听到用福音是用他们自己的乡谈来传讲。
And so it is probable that these Jews believed in the gospel.
所以有可能是当时的这些犹太人呢把这个福音带回了克里特。
And they brought the message back to Crete.
他们把这个福音带回了克里特岛。
And they have established local churches in Crete.
他们也执了堂建立了教会。
But it is also probable that some of the Jews did not believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior at Pentecost.
同样也有一种可能呢当时这些犹太人可能没有完全接受耶稣基督是他们的救主或他们的主。
And so they returned to Crete and they saw the established churches.
他们回到克里特岛呢看到这个教会已经建立起来了。
And they were troublemakers by promoting circumcision in the church.
他们在教会里面找麻烦他们要教会的人再重新行割礼。
They were turning people away from the truth.
他们把人呢带离了真道。
Therefore, Titus was to rebuke these false teachers sharply so that they may be sound in doctrine and in godliness.
所以呢，提多的任务就是要去教导、责备这些人，让他们回到圣经纯正的教导当中。
And Titus was chosen by the Apostle Paul for this apostolic assignment, possibly for this reason.
那为什么保罗选择提多做这样的一项使徒的任务呢
？And to understand this reason, you would need to read.Second Corinthians.
如果你想知道究竟为什么的话，你可能要把哥林多后书好好的读一下。
Now here's the summary.
最后呢，大概的给你总结一下。
The Corinthians were hostile towards the Apostle Paul.
因为当时哥林多会众的会徒呢，对保罗也不是很友好。
And Paul sent Titus to the Corinthian church with a difficult assignment in delivering a reconciling message to the Corinthians.
所以保罗就派提多去呢，带他让他去带了一个和好的信息。
And Titus was apparently a troubleshooter or a problem solver.
所以呢，提多从这方面来说呢，他是专门是一个救火队员或者是解决问题的人。
He was able to successfully deliver the reconciling message to the Corinthians.
他成功地完成了保罗交代他的任务。
And he was able to persuade many of the Corinthians to respond positively to Paul.
他很成功地让劝说很多的哥林多的教会的会众呢，能正面地接受保罗的教导。
Titus demonstrated that he possessed the spiritual earnestness.
所以提多展示了他自己的真诚。
He possessed a skillful diplomacy.
他呢有很外交的技巧呢也很强。
He possessed a loving concern required to meet the present challenge.
他也很有爱心的去面对这些挑战。
Therefore, the Apostle Paul was confident that this new assignment is safe in Titus's hands.
所以保罗非常有信心地把这样一项任务呢交给提多的手中。
Now, since Crete was a pagan nation, it's really not much different from the city of Vancouver.
我们当然知道，我们克里特这个岛呢是不接受神的一个岛，跟我们现在的温哥华呢还是蛮像的。
although I consider Vancouver a beautiful city to live in, it is nevertheless a godless city.
所以我们当然承认温哥华是一个非常美丽的城市，那我们在这居住，但是我们不得不承认它是一个没有神的一个地方。
In a 2021 census,
在2021年的人口普查当中
,55.8% of the population in Vancouver are either non-religious or secular.
在有 55% 的人说自己是没有宗教的，或者说属世的。
That's about 363,000 people here in Vancouver.
所以这就代表了在温哥华这个地方有363,000人是不信神或者说没有神的。
Therefore, brothers and sisters, how are we to live in this city that is increasingly hostile to Christian values?
所以弟兄姊妹，我们如何在这样的一个面对对基督教越来越排斥的社会中，我们究竟怎么样活着一个基督徒的生活？
Now the answer is not found in creating man-made or better strategies.
这个答案呢，不是呢，我们有一个好像是那种人为的找一些更好的这个战术或者正计划来做这些事。
It's not found in making OBC more attractive to the world.
也不是呢，我们希望爱堂呢，可能是对这个社会更有吸引力。
The answer is this.
答案是什么呢？
We are to live in godliness by being committed to faithfulness in ministry, just like the Apostle Paul.
所以我们答案就是说，我们必须是委身于的忠心的服侍神这样的一个事工上。
And Paul's opening letter has a profound lesson for us as a church.
所以保罗给提多书的这开头的几节呢，我们有很多值得我们学习的东西。
It is true that the opening verses or his salutation describe Paul's unique calling as an apostle.
当然没有错，在开头的几节，保罗交代了他自己非常独特的神的呼召。
However, the principles he outlines are applicable to every Christian.
但是他这里面给我们提到很多我们作为一个基督徒的生活的原则性的东西。
They instruct us on how to honor Christ while living in a godless society.
他教导我们在一个对不敬畏神的社会里面，我们怎么样来荣耀基督。
Paul here outlines 5 commitments of faithful ministry.
保罗在这里呢，给我们列举了有五项我们必须委身的事情。
First, a faithful ministry is committed to God's authority.
第一点呢，是忠心的侍奉，是委身于神的权柄之下。
You see, the letter of Titus begins this way.
所以这封信的开头是这样说的。
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ.
保罗是神的仆人，耶稣基督的使徒。
See here, Paul establishes his credentials.
保罗在这边交代他自己的这个身份。
He's a servant of God.
他的资格什么？他是神的仆人。
And this word servant is doulos in the Greek, which can also be translated as slave.
这个仆人在希腊文里面是 doulos, 但是也可以翻成奴隶的意思。
See, Paul is owned by God.
保罗呢是神又拥有他的。
Paul, a God is his master, a loving and good master.
保罗有一个非常慈爱又非常良善的主人。
Paul committed his life to obeying his God faithfully.
保罗他的一生呢，他的忠实于神呢。
He is called by God to serve him.
他神呼召他来服侍他。
He's under divine authority.
他是在神的神圣的权柄之下。
See, Paul is describing something that is true for all believers.
所以这个神圣的权柄其实是在我们所有的基督徒都使用的。
Did you know, brothers and sisters, that you are a doulos of God?
弟兄姊妹，你们知道你们也是神的奴隶。
You are a slave of God.
你是神的奴仆。
That's your identity as Christians.
这是我们基督徒的一个标志。
James, Peter, Jude, and John were all slaves of God.
雅各、彼得、犹大和约翰都是神的仆人。
We are purchased by the blood of Jesus.
我们是用神用重价买来的。
We no longer belong to ourselves.
我们不再属于我们自己。
We belong to our loving, gracious, and merciful God.
我们属于有慈爱、有爱心的我们的主人。
And He owns us.
他拥有我们。
If God tells you to go, then you go.
神叫你去什么地方，你就去什么地方。
If God tells you to stop, then you stop.
神叫你停，你就要停下来。
If God tells you to serve, then you serve.
神叫你去服侍，你就得去服侍。
If you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then He owns you.
如果你承认耶稣基督是你的主，耶稣基督就拥有你。
Therefore, you're to obey Him.
所以呢，你必须顺服他。
You're to serve Him as your master.
你必须呢，把他当作你的主人来服侍他。
And you are to love him because he first loved you and gave himself up for you.
你要爱他，因为他先爱你了，而且为我们献上了自己。
Second, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ.
第二点，他又是 耶稣基督的使徒。
What does it mean to be an apostle?
那作为使徒是一个什么样的意思呢？
Here are several qualifications of an apostle.
在使徒有资格有一些特别的一些资格的认证。
First, an apostle must have been commissioned directly by Jesus.
所以使徒必须是由耶稣基督亲自委任的。
Second, an apostle must have been taught directly by Jesus.
必须直接从耶稣基督接受了教导。
And third, an apostle must have been given authority by Jesus.
也从耶稣基督领受了权柄。
Now, Paul was not the original 12 apostles.
我们知道保罗并不是最初的十二个使徒。
But Paul was uniquely chosen by our Lord to be an apostle to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 9.
但是在使徒行传第九章，我们知道保罗是耶稣基督特别挑选做外邦人的使徒。
He planted churches.
他植堂了很多。
He laid the foundation for the church.
他建立了教会的基础。
He wrote letters which were the inspired word of God.
他写了很多的书信。
And of course, Paul died.
当然保罗最后也死了。
And after the death of the last apostle, which would be the apostle John, there are no more apostles today.
应该说在最后一个使徒约翰死了以后，现在已经没有再有使徒。
The original apostles have already laid down the foundation for the church in the inspired word of God.
最初的使徒已经把我们教会的基石完全的放好了。
If we are to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching in Acts 2:42, then we are to study the Bible.
如果说我们按照《使徒行传》第二章四十二节的教导，我们忠心于使徒的教导的话，我们现在就要来学习圣经。
And therefore, like Paul, we must recognize that we are under divine authority from our Lord in our personal life and in this local church.
我们必须像使徒保罗一样，我们在虽然在地方教会聚会的时候，我们也是必须顺服在神的权柄之下。
Christ is the head of the church.
基督是教会的头。
Not the elders, nor the pastors.
不是你的教会的长老，也不是你们教会的牧师。
We seek to honor Christ.
我们必须来荣耀基督。
We follow and submit to the authoritative word of God.
我们必须跟随，必须顺服于有权柄的神的话语。
Therefore, a faithful ministry is committed to God's authority.
所以呢，我们忠心服事的事工必须是委身于神的使命的权柄当中。
Second, a faithful ministry is committed to God's mission.
第二点说的，忠心的侍奉是委身在神给的使命里面。
The apostle Paul was entrusted with his apostolic ministry with specific goals in mind.
保罗，神在交代给保罗有一个特殊的使命。
He says, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness.
我们可以这样说，因着神选民的信心与敬虔真理的知识。
See, Paul's apostolic ministry is God's mission for his people.
所以保罗的使徒的事工呢，他是神为了他的选民而确定的。
See, first, Paul is a slave, an apostle for the sake of the faith of God's elect.
所以我们说他是保罗是虽然是神的仆人，是耶稣基督的使徒，是为了神的选民的信心。
The purpose of Paul's ministry was sent by God to proclaim faith.
那保罗使徒的事工的目的呢，神就派他去传讲神的信心。
He proclaimed the gospel to those whom God has sovereignly chosen for salvation before the foundation of the world.
神派保罗去传讲这样的信心，是在神在创世以前就已经拣选的这样的这一群选民。
And Paul's aim was that God's elect would believe in the person and work of Jesus.
保罗最终的目的是要让神的选民最终能相信这位耶稣基督。
This was the evangelistic zeal of the Apostle Paul.
这就是从这个传福音的这个角度来看呢，保罗的热情就在这体现出来。
And second, Paul is a slave and an apostle for the sake of their knowledge that is God's elect's knowledge of the truth.
第二点呢是关于是保罗是神的仆人，又是基督的使徒的时候，是第二点关于真理的知识。
See, Paul was chosen to teach them to know the truth.
也就是说，神选择保罗是要来教导他们有关真理的知识。
This was the educational zeal of the Apostle Paul.
这是从另外一个角度，从教导的角度来。
This is what it looks like to make disciples of all nations.
也就是让他去是万民做他的门徒。
The disciples are taught to observe all that Jesus has commanded us.
所以耶稣教导他的事情，他都教导门徒去遵守。
And thus we fulfill the Great Commission.
这就是让我们完成了大使命这样的事故。
By teaching the believers the full counsel of God's word,
通过教导信徒们全备的神的话语的道理。
God's people might be sanctified by the knowledge of the truth.
神的选民呢，可以通过真理得以成圣。
And Paul says at the end of verse 1 that it is God's truth that produces godly living.
所以神的真理呢，所以让我们带领我们进入敬虔的生活。
So you cannot have the knowledge of the truth without the godly life because that's hypocrisy.
如果说你仅仅知道神的道理而没有一个敬虔的生活的话呢，那就是一种假冒伪善的行为。
And you cannot live out the godly life without the knowledge of the truth because that's ignorance.
同样的道理也可以说，你也不可能过一个敬虔的生活而没有一个敬虔的真理，因为那是无知的表现。
Brothers and sisters, if you look at your week, even right now, how much of God's truth are you receiving?
如果说弟兄姊妹们，如果你现在就检查自己这一段生活，你有从接受了多少神的真理的知识？
The truth of God's word should teach you how to live in godliness.
神的真理的知识教导我们怎么样过一个敬虔的生活。
It also implies that if you're not receiving the knowledge of the truth, you shouldn't be able to discern what godly living looks like.
同样这句话也暗示，如果说你不能过一个敬虔的生活，你也不能分辨什么样的生活是一个敬虔的生活。
Instead, most likely, you may be living in ungodliness.
同样这可能意味着你可能过了一个不敬虔的生活。
And if that's you, then you need to repent of your sins and come back to Jesus.
如果那是描述了你现在的情况的话，你需要回到耶稣基督的面前来认罪悔改。
You are to renew your covenant relationship with the Lord.
你必须重新更新你跟神之间的这种约的关系。
He died for you so that you no longer live for yourselves, but that you live for him.
因为他为你的罪而死了，以便于你可以为他而活，而不是为你自己而活。
Brothers and sisters, may 2026 be a stepping stone for you to grow in godliness by receiving the knowledge of the truth.
弟兄姊妹，我希望2026年是我们迈向我们敬虔的生命中成长的关键的一年。
We see that Paul was committed to God's mission by evangelizing and by educating.
保罗在这个尾声，他神的事工，他通过传福音，通过教导圣徒。
And that's our calling as well.
这也是我们呼召被召而做的事情。
Third, a faithful ministry is committed to God's promise.
第三点，我们看忠心的侍奉是委身于神的应许之中。
Verse 2 says,In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began.
第二节这样说的，盼望了无谎言的神在万古之间所应许的永生。
This hope of eternal life is not speaking of uncertainty or wishful thinking.
这种盼望并不是我们飘无不定的，或者说我们凭空想象的一些事情。
It is talking about what is not yet in our full and present possession in experience.
这里所讲的盼望是虽然我们现在还没有完完全全的经历或拥有的东西。
See, this hope of eternal life is grounded on God's promises.
我们这个对永生的盼望是建立在神的应许之上。
See, nothing is more certain than the promise of God.
如果没有任何一件事情比神的应许更能让我们有笃定的确信。
That's because God is not a God who lies by breaking his promises.
因为神，我们神是永不撒谎的一位神。
God cannot lie because he is the truth.
神不撒谎，因为他就是真理。
Truth and lie do not coexist.
因为谎言和真理不可能同时存在。
You can call a half truth or a white lie, but it's still a lie at the end of the day.
你也可以说是半真半假，或者是一个善意的谎言，但最终还是一个谎言。
Lying is a sin.
撒谎是一个罪。
Proverbs chapter 6 says that God hates a lying tongue and a false witness who breathes out lies.
在箴言的第六章的16节19节说到，神恨恶的，耶和华恨恶的是撒谎的舌头和口出谎言的假见证。
The Bible also says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
圣经同时也教导我们，神是光，在他里面毫无黑暗。
God's character is the basis of our confidence in his promise.
神的这样的特性是给了我们这样的一些信心。
And since he promised the hope of eternal life to his people like us, we can have confidence that God will keep his promise.
所以因为他这样的信心教导我们，让我们能有完全的信靠他的应许会实现。
We can have confidence that nothing in this world can snatch us out of the Father's hand.
我们可以有信心的说，这世界上没有一样东西能把我们从神的手中给抢走。
We can be assured that nothing can separate us from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ.
我们也同样有信心相信，没有一件事情能把我们从耶稣基督的爱中给分离出来。
Therefore, this is an encouragement for us to continue to hold on to God's
promises. 这对于我们来说，对我们在忠实于神的话语呢，是一个多么大的鼓励。
His promise encourages us to serve Him.
也是一个对我们在继续的来服侍他的一个鼓励。
And His promise encourages in trials and tribulations.
也在我们遭受困难、遭受试炼的时候，对我们是一个鼓励。
Fourth, a faithful ministry is committed to God's word.
第四点，我们说忠心的侍奉是委身于神的话语。
If you look at verse 3, Paul says this.
在第三节这样说道。
And at the proper time, manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior.
第三节这样说，到了日期，借着传扬的功夫，把他的道显明了。这传扬的责任是按照神我们救主的命令交托了我。
Since God promised the hope of eternal life to his people, he revealed his word at the proper time through preaching.
因为神应许了我们在永生的盼望，神就到了日期满足的时候，把他的道显明了给他的选民。
And the word preaching means to herald.
这传扬的意思就是宣讲的意思。
It is the public proclamation of God's word.
就是在公众的场合对公众来宣讲神的话语。
And for Paul, he was under the divine command of God our Savior to preach the word among the Gentiles.
所以神真的，保罗是神的神圣的权柄教导他要给外邦人传讲神的话语。
And such preaching brings sinners to saving faith.
这样的传讲话语呢，把我们罪人来到救恩的信心里。
It builds them up in divine truth.
让我们真正认识到神的神圣的真道究竟是什么。
And it strengthens them for godly living.
也坚固我们的加强我们敬虔生活的信心。
One of the signs of an unhealthy church is bad or poor preaching.
如果说一个不健康教会的标志就是说它的讲台比较薄弱。
Now, if the church is not fed with biblical preaching, then she'll be spiritually, biblically, and theologically malnourished.
如果一个教会的教导没有按照圣经的教导的话，它从神学、从教义、从属灵上来说，它是营养不良的一个教会。
Preaching is not storytelling.
这讲道并不是来给你讲故事。
Preaching is not entertaining you.
讲道也不是来让你感觉到很高兴、很开心、很快乐。
Preaching is proclaiming what God has to say to you from His Word.
讲道教导主要是从神的话语、圣经上来跟你交代神跟你们说了些什么。
And as pastors of OBC, it is our commitment to faithfully preach the Word in season and out of season.
我们作为 OBC 的牧师，我们的责任就是在不管得时不得时，我们在忠心的传讲神的话语。
It doesn't matter whether the preaching is popular or not.
也许我们的这个讲道可能不是受了很多人、大多数人欢迎。
It doesn't matter if you like the message or not.
也许有可能说我不太喜欢这个讲道。
We'll be preaching God's word expositionally because we've been entrusted by the command of God.
但是我们知道神的命令教导我们必须在忠心的传讲按照神的话语。
And every ministry and every believer in this church must be faithfully committed to God's word.
所以我们这些教会的不同的事工、不同的领袖也同样是忠心于这样神的命令。
We are stewards of God's truth.
我们是神的真理的管家。
And so every Lord's Day, when you gather here, I pray that you would demonstrate your commitment to God's word.
我祷告祈求每一个主日，当我们在一起聚会的时候，你能展现出你是委身于神的话语。
You can do so by opening your Bibles and follow along as your pastor preaches.
你怎么样表现呢？就是在神在你的牧师讲道的时候，你能打开你的圣经来跟随他讲道的这个内容。
You can open your hearts to receive what God is saying to you, even if it confronts your sins.
你可打开你的心来接受神的话语，要跟你说的话，也许可能来责备你的罪。
You can open your lives to obey what you hear, not just admire it.
你想打开你的生活来接受顺服神的话语的教导。
You can open your mouth to discuss it with your family and friends and teach it to your children and share it with your neighbors.
你要开口把你所接受的教导来跟你的家庭、跟你的孩子、跟你的邻居来分享这样的感动。
Lastly, a faithful ministry is committed to God's people.
最后第五点我们讲到忠心的侍奉是委身于神的子民。
Verse 4 says this,
第四节这样说道,
to Titus, my true child in a common faith.
现在写信给提多,就是照着我们共信之道做真儿子的。
Now Paul writes this letter to Titus.
我们知道保罗是给提多写了这样的一封信。
This was his way of greeting to Titus and by implication even those who are in the church of Crete.
当然是写给提多的也可以同样我们可以说他是写给克里特教会的所有的会众。
Paul describes Titus as his true child in a common faith.
保罗说提多是他共信之道做他真儿子的。
By calling Titus his true child, Paul may have done two things in Titus' life.
保罗称提多是他的真儿子，可能表示两层意思。
First, Paul may have been responsible in bringing Titus to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
也许保罗是带领提多信主的那位。
And second, Paul had a mentor-student relationship with Titus.
也许保罗可能在保罗在提多的信主以后的成长中是一种师生的关系。
Paul may have played a major role in nurturing Titus spiritually and training him for gospel ministry.
也许保罗在提多灵命成长的过程中起了很关键的作用。
And Paul knows Titus enough to set him to Crete to handle a difficult situation with the church.
因为保罗对提多如此的了解呢，所以他很放心的派提多去克里特处理这样一件非常棘手的事情。
He delegated his authority to Titus to carry this important responsibility.
使徒保罗把他的权柄呢，这交托给提多，让他去处理这样的事情。
Now here's Paul's leadership quality.
这一点我们可以看到，这保罗究竟是一位什么样的领袖呢
？Although he was an apostle, he never worked alone.
虽然他是一个使徒，但是他从来没有孤军奋战。
He normally had partners and fellow workers in the gospel ministry.
他一般呢都有同工，都有同伴来一起跟他来共同的服侍。
He had relationships with believers.
他跟这些所有的周围的弟兄姊妹都有一个很好的关系。
He knew people personally.
他从在个人的层面上，他对他们的周边人非常的了解。
He mentored and discipled men like Titus and Timothy.
他在灵里面关注像提摩太、像提多这样，让他们成长。
And the goal is so that they can go out and be effective witnesses and ministers in the church.
他这样做的目的就是说，让他的这些提摩太或提多可以像他一样，再出去传讲神的话。
That's why we are to be committed to God's people.
我们必须委身在神的子民当中。
And Titus was also a true child in a common faith.
提多同时也是一个共信之道真儿子。
This phrase common faith is talking about the faith in the sense that Titus was doctrinally like-minded and sound in the Christian faith.
这共信之道表示提多所信的、所教导的、所坚持的跟保罗是完全一致的。
Titus was grounded in the word of God.
提多是他是在神的话语中他是非常扎实的。
He can be trusted to handle the word of God.
所以他可以值得信赖的去宣讲神的话语。
And Paul would not have given such responsibility to Titus if he were not rooted in Scripture.
如果提多没有在植根于神的话语当中的话，保罗可能也不会把这个重要的任务交给他去做。
And this is vitally important in Christian leadership.
这也是我们在作为教会当中作为领袖的人非常重要的一项事工。
If you're not grounded in the Bible and in sound doctrine, you have no business being in leadership in the church.
如果你对神的话语没有了解，没有扎根于神的话语中，你也不可能在教会里面作为领袖。
You have no business being an elder or pastor.
你也不可能作为教会的长老或者教会的牧师。
Christian leaders with a lack of doctrinal conviction is a recipe for disaster for the local church.
如果教会里面的领袖或者牧师对神的话语都没有真正的扎根了解的话，这个教会肯定是一团糟的情况。
Now Paul closes his greetings to Titus with these blessings to him.
保罗在最后这种问安结束的时候他说愿恩惠平安。
Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior.
愿恩惠平安从父神我们的救主基督耶稣归于你。
Now have you ever paused for a moment to understand what that means?
你有没有停下来想一想读到这句话，这句话究竟什么意思呢？
Why does Paul need to wish Titus grace and peace?
为什么保罗跟提多说愿恩惠平安与你同在呢？
See, for Titus, he needs God's grace.
因为对提多来说，他需要神的恩惠。
This means that he needs the divine strength for life and service.
他希望我们，他也就是说，提多需要从神的神圣的恩惠来帮助他的事工。
He needs God's peace.
他也需要从神而来的平安。
This means he needs freedom from anxiety, panic, and distraction.Despite difficult circumstances.
也就是当他处于面临复杂困难的处境的时候，他不要有焦虑，不要有搅扰。
Titus needs God's grace and God's peace to be able to address the challenges he faces in Crete.
And
this is important in Christian ministry.
We need
God's grace and God's peace as a church in 2026.
我们在2026年这一新的一年，我们教会也需要从神的恩惠和平安来到我们。
Your elders and your pastors need God's grace and peace this year as we do our best to lead this church spiritually.
我们教会的长老或牧师也需要从神而来的恩惠平安，来从灵里面带领这间教会。
Your ministry leaders need God's grace and peace so that they can serve this church faithfully.
不同的事工的领袖小组长他们都也需要从神来的恩惠平安来带领你们。
And so at the start of 2026, we want to be committed to the following things.
所以在2026年开始的时候，我们希望我们的教会来忠心的侍奉，来委身于神的权柄之下。
First, a faithful ministry is committed to God's authority.
所以我们一个忠心的服事，侍奉是委身于神的权柄。
Second, a faithful ministry is committed to God's mission.
第二点是委身在神给的使命里面。
Third, a faithful ministry is committed to God's promise.
第三个是委身于神的应许之中。
Fourth, a faithful ministry is committed to God's word.
第四点是委身于神的话语之中。
And lastly, a faithful ministry is committed to God's people.
而是委身，最后一件是委身于神的子民当中。
And the question is, brothers and sisters, will you be committed to these marks of a faithful ministry?
弟兄姊妹，我们关键的问题就是你是否愿意委身于这我们五个标记当中呢？
May the Lord be with us now and in 2026 and forevermore.
我们愿神在2026年一直到永永远远都与我们同在。
Let's pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to hear your word.
父神，我们谢谢你给我们机会来学习你的话语。
Thank you for challenging us with your message.
谢谢你通过你的信息来挑战我们。
Father, if we are not committed to these following things, help us to turn from our own mindset and turn to you.
父神，如果说我们还不能完完全全的委身于这样的标记当中，求你来坚定我们的信念，来委身于这些事情当中。
May OBC be a light in this community and in this city.
那愿我们的 OBC 希望爱堂成为社区，成为城市的灯塔。
Help us to be a faithful church.
帮助我们成为为中心的教会。
Help us to be able to reach the city with the gospel of Jesus Christ by living out God in godliness.
帮助我们成为为传扬耶稣基督的福音的教会。
I pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name.
我们奉耶稣基督的圣名所求。
Amen.
Amen.